Welcome to the very first episode of the new podcast presented by We the Patriots USA, Vets and Visionaries with Kristen Megan. Well, I am Kristen Megan, and I'm also known as a loudmouth liberty enforcer, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a veteran who spent 9 years on active duty in the Air Force, but I am also a wife, a mother, and a scientist. And I am so glad to be a part of this team because as soon as I left active duty, it was so important to me to ensure that I upheld my oath and I administratively and peacefully ensured that other individuals from peace officers, medical professionals, government employees, and our politicians ensured that the oath that they took, they do not forget. And as we have seen over the past 3 years, things have been very heavy in the removal of our individual civil liberties and our constitutional rights. And that's why I'm so glad to be here, because it was through the madness of as an exposure scientist and fighting the mandates between masks and vaccines that I met the guests I'm about to introduce. Where do we find a sense of normalcy? The purposeful divide widens as individual liberties are lost. While we feel the lack of unity, solutions exist. Through an open dialogue and constitutional conversations, hear from those who have upheld their oaths and join me in exploring innovative and inspired change through a clearer lens. This is Vets and Visionaries with Kristen Megan, presented by We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization striving to sustain and restore our God-given and constitutional rights. And my first guests on this introductory episode are the co-founders of We the Patriots USA, Brian Festa and Don Jolly. Brian is a civil rights attorney who was propelled into the health freedom movement after his son was severely injured by the flu shot. I got to know him on a national stage, and he has made rounds in national media helping other individuals fight for and preserve their health freedom rights. Dawn is a fellow veteran. She's not just a friend of Brian, but again, she co-founded We the Patriots USA, and she has her own story between herself and one of her children involving vaccine injury. This is a very sad correlation between these two, but as a disabled veteran, I too had a vaccine injury. But Dawn has an extensive history working in the health freedom movement for over 20 years, and she also has a history of working in the pharmaceutical industry and cybersecurity. So here at We the Patriots USA have quite the diverse team of individuals who've taken an oath and fight to preserve individual liberties and freedom. So I would love to welcome my first two guests, Brian and Dawn. Welcome, hey, Brian and Dawn. It's so great to see you. It's so great to join your team. I just introduced you guys and a little bit about your backgrounds, but I would love, Brian, for you to explain to the viewers how actually you and I got to know one another.
Sure. Let me just officially welcome you to our team. You've been working with us for quite a while now. For those who don't know, Kristen has been a great supporter of ours, has really championed us, has never asked for anything in return. I'll never forget the press conference with Alyssa Campo. I watched it live through a Facebook Live. I wasn't there, but it was up in Grand Rapids when we were fighting for her, and you were there at the press conference telling everybody to support our work and to support that lawsuit. You've just been such a great friend of ours, and we are so happy and honored to welcome you to our team here at We the Patriots USA. We are so blessed. God has blessed us with an amazing team of individuals, and to have you now launching our second podcast. How amazing is that, Don, right? I mean, it was just a year and a half ago that we were launching our first one, and we never thought we couldn't even imagine how amazing that would be. And now we have our second one. I can't hear your audio, Dawn, but she'll get that corrected in just a second. I can keep blabbing whenever I have to fill dead space. Dawn knows that very well.
But she just has to speak louder, like she has been in fighting for people's rights.
Yeah. She never needs a microphone, I'll tell you that. But I want to answer your question, because you asked, and Dawn, whenever you want to test it, just jump in and I'll tell you when you've interrupted me, but I can hear you.
Okay, excellent.
Excellent. So Dawn, Kristen asked how she and I met. It was actually through her own story. She was actually had an incident with Delta Airlines, which you can tell your story. Kristen, I don't want to tell your story for you, but because of being denied an accommodation for wearing a mask, because you do have a disability, as you stated, and you were being denied an accommodation, which is your legal right under the ADA. And so you reached out to We the Patriots USA. We developed a relationship, a friendship through that. And you've worked with us. And now look at this, you're hosting a podcast for us.
Well, isn't it a funny thing that that is a similar scenario with our other podcast hosts as well. And now we are awesome friends and we work together all the time. And it's just amazing what we've been able to achieve. So again, all glory to God, how he just brings us together and allows us to do his work and
Amen.
Collaborate and reach out and help other people who really need the help and don't have.
I definitely think it's a divine thing. And for me, as somebody who not only is an exposure scientist, who's a subject matter expert on masking, when the airlines had pushed all this masking, I thought, this is insane because they're not doing anything but providing a less than 1% risk reduction. And I've done air sampling on aircraft. So I knew all we needed was engineering control. So yes, like Brian said, I have multiple medical issues in which I've been denied the use of a mask and respirator for years. And I couldn't believe that my disability would ever keep me from boarding a flight actually to North Dakota, where I was going to give expert testimony for a bill that would disallow discrimination based on vaccination and masking status. So it's kind of crazy how this comes full circle. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's been so great because obviously through Brian, I've got to know Dawn, and I'm just so glad to be a part of this team and be given this opportunity because again, I'm known as a loudmouth liberty enforcer. And I've been, you know, like I said, I've been traveling around helping fight these mask and vaccine mandates. And the good thing about creating connections, and that's what We the Patriots USA does, is it helps give networking to people in different fields. And I know that we all have met people in different disciplines that if you have a legal case that you're referring someone to get help with, you know, an expert that you can reach out to maybe as an expert witness
right.
or influencers or people with large followings to help promote those fundraisers to help individuals get that financial support. And like you had said, Brian, we had a local woman here in Michigan and she had adopted a daughter who, you know, for religious purposes, did not get the latest and greatest experimental vaccines. And she was denied her kidney transplant. And you and I had already known each other, but because I'm working media and I was on the ground, I did my best to promote that fundraiser and ensure that this girl could have her life saved. And Brian, this is just one of the stories that people need to hear, because Brian and Dawn, what you guys are doing, it's not loud enough. And it's frustrating for me. And it's why I wanted to join this team, because people need to hear what you have been doing, the wins that you've had that may not make mainstream media, but right. set case precedents for other individuals. So can you share kind of that story or some big wins that you guys have had throughout the past year? And then we can go into what are we looking at here in 2023?
Yeah. So I just want to give Dawn the opportunity to say something else if she wants to just sort of introduce you know, herself for those of your followers. Kristen, I know you brought a lot of your followers in, you know, to watch this first episode. So Dawn, if you have anything to say before I answer that question.
Yeah, I'm going to let you handle the legal update, so to speak, and shine some light on that since you're the legal expert here on this team. I'm actually going to be talking about moving forward. So Brian's going to give you a synopsis on what we've accomplished thus far, and I'm going to speak to what lies ahead, right? Because those are tail end of bookends that are both very, very important. So you can see from where we've came and now where we're heading. So I'll let Brian handle this portion and then I'll open my big mouth.
All right. And it's funny, when I just had to kind of laugh inside when you were saying what we've been doing hasn't been loud enough, because Dawn and I are the loudest people, especially, well, I'm the loudest, but when it comes to being passionate mm-hmm. about these issues, I think we're both equally as loud, especially mm-hmm. when we get up to testify or when we're on stage or something, because right. this is something that we are, that is deeply personal for us. As you said, Kristen, because we have personal stories of vaccine injury, either for ourselves or for our children or both.
And it's not only that, it's just watching the harm occur over yeah. and over and over, and so many families being affected by it. That's really what fuels me. So like my injury and my son's injury is kind of what propelled me to get into this in the first place. But watching what's happening across the world to people is what fuels me on a day-to-day basis.
It's right. absolutely it's one too many.
Right.
And it's not just the shots. Obviously, we're involved in a lot more than that. But yep. You asked me to talk about victories. Well, Alyssa Campo was, I think, without a doubt, our biggest victory last year because we were able to get the hospital to back down. DeVos Children's Hospital in Grand Rapids Spectrum Health was denying her the ability to even have the medical evaluations necessary to be placed on the transplant list. Never mind denying her the transplant.
Right.
They're saying, we're not even going to put you on the waiting list because we're not even going to give you the evaluations you need to get on the waiting list because you didn't get this toxic shot, experimental shot.
Punishment. Punishment for not being a slave, a obedient little slave, essentially.
And punishment for having religious beliefs and standing firm to your religious beliefs. Her family, you know, she was adopted by Jenna Campos' family. Jenna is an amazing woman, very strong Christian. She adopted her from the Ukraine. She brought her here. I think that was her second child, actually, she adopted from the Ukraine, mm-hmm. from Ukraine, and brought her here to have a better life and to hopefully get better medical care, or so she thought. And then all the COVID craziness started and they required the shot. So they refused on religious grounds and the hospital refused to honor that. Well, shortly after we filed our federal lawsuit in the Western District of Michigan court, they started backing down. They started approaching her, calling her. Okay, do you want, they called her mom, Jenna, do you want to have this evaluation? Do you want to have this test now? Do you want to have this? And she's like, well, I thought you weren't going to give me those. And suddenly the tune changed to the point where this got a lot of publicity. I know you said it's not loud enough. There's not enough eyes on us. And I agree with that. But we actually did go on a lot of podcasts, a lot of national broadcasts and local ones in Michigan. Went on Justin Barclay's show.
Yes.
You know, he's a friend of ours.
Yeah,
We did a lot of promo and he was great in supporting us too. I just want to give him a shout out too, if he's listening.
And he's a big man of faith. So he recognizes this egregious, just disregard for religious freedom.
Yeah, spiritual battle.
That's what we love too about doing this work is we connect with people in all these local areas that we never had a connection to. I'm smiling because I got to visit Grand Rapids when I went on Greg Clark's Reawaken America tour. And that's the first time I actually met you in person.
Yeah.
And I got to see some of the city, went out to a couple places. I got to, you know, see the community a little bit and connect with people. You know, when we were there, we had a booth there at that tour. And it's a great city, but it's like I never otherwise really would have been connected to Grand Rapids, you know. And now Justin's a friend of mine too. He's a local broadcaster. So it's just amazing how everybody came together and rallied around this girl. And what happened is we got people all over the country writing us, offering kidneys. I'll give her my kidney.
Yep.
Where do I sign up to go and give her?
That was amazing.
We had doctors reach out to us to say, we will perform the surgery. So at that point, she didn't even need DeVos Children's Hospital anymore. It was like she had so many options. And DeVos also was now offering the evaluations, creating the pathway to get her on the list. So at that point, Jenna made the decision, prayerfully made the decision that she was going to withdraw at that point. So the lawsuit didn't go all the way through, but we consider that a huge victory because obviously they backed down. And by filing the lawsuit, we were able to give her options for medical care. So sometimes you don't have to wait. Sometimes that's not the best strategy, Kristen, especially when someone's life is at stake. It's not the best strategy to wait 2 or 3 years for a lawsuit to play out before a jury.
Well, there's a lot of ways to view a win, right? There are different perspectives of what winning means. And in this case, it was a different strategy, right? Like as Brian was just saying, it doesn't have to be won through the courts every single time, but the legal, we're still setting a legal precedence as far as scaring them away.
It's the public pressure.
Yes.
They know we're watching.
Exactly.
They know that if they try this again on any other patient who knows us, can reach out to us, we will do this again and we stand prepared. So we have two women in Illinois right now, Michelle Meyer and Brandy Harris, who are also being denied kidney transplant in Peoria, Illinois at St. Francis OFM Medical Center. Okay. So not too far away from where you are, Kristen, right in Illinois, two women being denied kidney transplants. They're very, very ill. They've reached out to us as well for help. We have a fundraiser on our website for them. We're going to keep doing this at one hospital, the next hospital, the next hospital, the next hospital. And we are setting a precedent just by filing these lawsuits. So the hospitals, trust me, you don't think these big medical conglomerates talk to each other?
They know
there's this pesky organization, We the Patriots. If you deny someone a transplant, just know you're going to probably get a lawsuit from them. So,
and now you've got me as the loudmouth liberty enforcer. And I just have to tell you really quick, when you brought up DeVos, I'm very familiar with that is the medical site in which this really started. I just have to tell you, my youngest daughter, 7, and neither of my daughters, 17 and 18, have ever been vaccinated for medical reasons. And when my youngest was about 2.5, she had a very high fever. And, you know, I'm not afraid to go to a hospital. I know kind of like the hierarchy in which your child needs to be seen. And I was told my daughter was sick and had a fever because she wasn't vaccinated. but they couldn't tell me from what. So because my daughter had a fever, they assumed it was a virus, and it's because she wasn't vaccinated. So we've really, that's the one good thing about all of this chaos over the past 3 years is I really think it's really focused in. Like we all have in common here, sadly, we've all firsthand experienced vaccine injury before the experimental vaccinations, I have to say in air quotes. And that needs to really kind of hone in on informed consent. And I want to ask you, Dawn, really quick, because I know that you worked in the pharmaceutical industry. What is your opinion on, I know in my county where I live in Michigan, if you are going to, we have all three exemptions in our state, but even any exemption you use, you have to go to the health department. They tell you the risk and benefits, and they quote that it's informed consent, but it's not the insert. It's their own little one-page Word document. So please tell me, what is your view from having history work in the pharmaceutical industry on the lack of informed consent and actually transparent issues that are not conveyed to the average layperson?
Well, you can say that again. Informed consent essentially doesn't even exist. It's not just the health department. It's not just the CDC. It's not just the FDA. It's not just the pharmaceutical companies themselves. It's the actual doctors and nurses that are administering these toxic shots as well. I can't think of very many pediatricians, except for a few dear friends of ours, who actually provide informed consent to their patients. The fact that I can only think of maybe five doctors off the top of my head in this very moment is terrifying with the number of doctors that we have practicing here in this country and across the globe as well. Parents are just not informed of the pros and the cons. And if you ask someone like me, there are no pros. I know we could start a whole new discussion just upon that.
Well, I would agree with you. As an exposure scientist, I would agree with you.
Right. But I know that there are others who may feel differently as far as they've weighed out the evidence and the type of studies they've been exposed to. But the whole intention is that this is up to the parent, right? This comes down to parental rights, essentially. That's what it boils down to. And if the parents aren't informed enough to make an educated decision, how can they then possibly do what's best for their child? They're essentially following the advice of someone that they believe is trained in this area, whereas most doctors have no real understanding of how vaccines actually work and the ingredients that are found within the vials. Most of them literally have no idea. They get trained by the pharmaceutical industry, actually, and they're very understanding of the CDC schedule. They'll tell you all about that. But if you ask them, what's in the insert? Have they ever studied 13.1 in that section that pertains to, do we have carcinogenic properties or anything of that nature? They'll look at you with a blank stare, or they'll get infuriated and kick you out of their practice. That's what I've personally have encountered. And of course, that's going to be what we see because the pharmaceutical industry itself has really no incentive to inform the public. Why would they tell you that there are risks associated with their product when that's going to harm their bottom line? They're a for-profit companies, right? That's their entire reason for existing is to make money. And if they have a law that allows them to not tell you and they can't be sued, even if they harm you, then why would they bother furnishing that information? They don't want you to be informed. They want you to do as you're told. And the collusion between the government and the pharmaceutical industries is absolutely appalling. I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to that since COVID. Some people anyway. We have a long way to go as far as educating the public. And like Brian said before, we certainly do have loud voices. Our problem is not the fact that we don't have the passion, the expertise, the information at our fingertips. The problem is that we're highly censored. So getting that information out to the general public is very, very close to impossible because the mainstream silences us. Social media silences us. We've been kicked out of venues. We've been kicked off platforms. We can't even receive donations on certain platforms to stand up for others who can't fight for themselves because services such as PayPal and Venmo have kicked us off as well. And not only as business owners, right? Not only as co-founders of this organization, it's not just our business that was kicked off, but we as individuals were also kicked off. I believe I had 6 PayPal accounts associated with different email addresses for different purposes, one for natural health products, you know, different things that I did, all of them banned. So the fact that I won't even go too far into that, but the fact that they can pull that up and correlate all my different email addresses, all of my different addresses, all of my different phone numbers throughout the years and pull that together and say, nope, Dawn Jolly, done. She's gone. That's terrifying.
Yeah,
and
I can relate to that.
Yep. And I'm sure we'll have some episodes later about, you know, the digital credit scores and big data and things like that. Oh, yeah. And I can certainly speak to that from my cybersecurity side. But going back to your original question, the pharmaceutical industry, I've seen it from the inside out. And I can tell you, if you've heard the rumors, they're most likely true.
And Brian, I wanted to ask you as an attorney, do you think there's a way we can ever repeal this liability that is taken away from these manufacturers?
Well, not with the current Congress. maybe in some at some future date, if we get true patriots in there, or enough. I can't say there aren't any true patriots in there, but we need enough of them, and we don't have enough of them.
The extremists. Most people with,
yeah. I mean, most people, just because you have an R next to your name doesn't mean that you're truly a patriot and love this country. That's why we're a nonpartisan organization, not only because we're a 501c3 corporation, we can't be, but even if we weren't, we wouldn't be, because we don't support any one particular party. I will say right now, with regard to what Dom was just saying about being kicked off by PayPal and Venmo too, I just wanted to touch on that if I can for a moment. What's
Absolutely.
So ridiculous about that is you stop and think of how much these people are driven by political ideology. It's just mind-boggling because they're losing money. I mean, we brought in, through donations, especially in our first year, we brought in a lot of money through PayPal. I mean, we weren't, you know, making, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars or anything, but we brought in a substantial amount of donations and they got a cut of that. They got fees. So they were making money off of us, but still, simply because they disagreed with what we stood for, with our ideology, that was enough. That has come even, this is why it's a cult. This is a religion to them. If you don't agree with their LGBTQI whatever agenda, if you don't agree with their views on Second Amendment, if you don't agree with their views on the right to life, if you don't agree with their views on critical race theory, if you don't agree with their views on toxic shots and vaccines and whatever, you are banned, even if it's going to cost the company substantial money. And that was never seen before in history. And that's why I was baffled at the beginning of COVID. I'm not anymore because I'm used to it. But when COVID first started and there were all these lockdowns and then the vaccine mandate came, vaccine, again, in air quotes, came, the shot mandates came, and all these in-house counsels and also outside counsel were advising their clients, fire people, don't grant religious exemptions, even though it's the law, just fire them. That never made any sense because as an attorney, you're supposed to present to your client the risk of liability exposure, compare that and say, if you do this, you're going to have much more exposure than if you do this. And clearly there was much, much, much more exposure in firing people and denying religious and medical accommodations than there ever would have been in just not in granting them. I mean, you could, even if you say, okay, you could have the mandate, but just grant the exemptions.
Right.
The liability would have been almost zero because how would anyone, even if someone got sick in the workplace or even died,
how are you going to prove it from that person? They contracted it from that location.
They would never be able to prove.
I deal with workers' compensation in an occupational setting. Yes,
right. You deal with workplace. You're an expert in this and health and, you know, OSHA standards and workplace particulate matter and all this stuff. Listen, you know, there's no way that you're going to be able to trace that person got it from work as opposed to church or a restaurant.
Oh, but contact tracing. Come on.
Yeah, that didn't prove anything.
So, on your phone.
So since you would never be able to prove it, the liability exposure is almost zero. Yet those lawyers knew damn well, okay, that if you just blanketly or deny the majority of religious exemptions and medical exemptions, you were going to be hit with a slew of lawsuits. Their clients would be hit with a slew of lawsuits. So any lawyer, and I'm saying this emphatically, okay, and I don't say this lightly, any lawyer who purposely advised their client, who knowingly advised their client to deny religious exemptions as opposed to grant them, is guilty of malpractice because that is not the law. Title VII makes absolutely clear that you have to grant it if it's reasonable. The only time you don't, even under the ADA for a medical accommodation, is if you can show that there is a direct threat of harm to others. Yeah. There is no direct threat of harm from having someone who has a religious exemption, especially because in many cases, well, as you know, the science, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds of the science because I'll leave that to you, Kristen, but science very, very clearly shows that this was not this deadly disease that they made it out to be. Mm-hmm. All right. That the numbers were falsified. Okay. The numbers of deaths. And of course, now that we have people dying suddenly, young people, okay, by in droves. We hear crickets from the media. Where's the mainstream media? Where's the ticker in Times Square?
All the coincidences.
Where's the ticker in Times Square or at the bottom of the nightly news showing how many deaths there have been from the shots? No, they're completely silent. And there's way more deaths now than there ever were from COVID. I'm just going to say that right now. There are way more deaths from the shot than there ever were from COVID. The shot is the deadliest bioweapon that has ever been unleashed on humanity. That, in combination with things like 5G, okay, this is the deadliest time in human history. This is deadlier than the bubonic plague. I am saying that. Make your sound bite, okay, libtards. Make your sound bite and spread it all over the media, all over social media, that Brian Fest has said the shots are more dangerous, the most dangerous bioweapon, the most dangerous threat to human existence in the history of the world, because I just said it.
Breaking news, Brian Festa's social media and bank accounts frozen. But I have to,
come after
I love
me.
It. This is the loud I wanted to hear. No, I know you're loud, but it's the censorship. But I just wanted to add to what you said before we transition into what we're going to do in the future, because we know the problems and we need solutions. But when you talked about the mandates in the workplace, the one thing I was screaming is that OSHA is so guilty of revisionism. And like you said, there is, while OSHA doesn't always have standards that govern this, they have something called letters of interpretation. And those are legally binding. And there has been so many things in the past where if employers are going to mandate a vaccine, not only do they have to convey the risks of not getting it, they have to convey the risks of getting the vaccine. How can you do that when the inserts are intentionally left blank? That was my biggest argument when my information went all the way to SCOTUS with the OSHA ETS, which died on arrival. But we know how crazy everything has been for the past 3 years. And there is good that has come from this, because like I said, sometimes you got to hit rock bottom before other people take off their blinders and get rid of that cognitive dissonance. But with everything that We the Patriots USA has done, Dawn, I'd like you to explain, what are some of the positive changes or ideas or visions that you and Brian have for this upcoming new year?
Sure. So, well, number one is this podcast, right? So we're going to be able to reach so many more people, interview so many more guests that we could have possibly ever reached with one podcast. And we're really excited for this. I mean, you're going to be able to have such fluent conversations with amazing people from all over the world that are sharing their stories, that are giving their own testimonies, that are highlighting all the victories that have taken place and sharing what they're working on and how they're working to change the world to make it a better place for our children. Because right now, I think we could all agree, this is not the kind of world we want our children growing up in. This is not the world we want grandchildren being brought into. And, you know, as patriots and you and I as veterans, this is not what we signed up for when we joined the service. And I won't speak for you, but I didn't think that I'd be fighting against the very government that I served under.
This is domestic terrorism.
Absolutely. It's much more the enemy within that I am concerned with than our enemies abroad, even though they mm-hmm. pose significant threats as well. But we'll save that for another day as well. But yeah, I mean, we have a lot of awesome things that we're working on. I mean, you can go to our website, www.wethepatriotsusa.org, and check out all the legal cases that we're currently working on. We have a lot of people who are in need. So if you were able to make a donation to support one of our many fundraisers so that we can help more people, we would greatly appreciate that. Brian touched base earlier on two of our outstanding kidney transplant cases that are in need of further donations. So please consider that. But we have a really, really exciting event coming up in the Boise area, because I don't know if you're all aware, but we are headquartered in Caldwell, Idaho. We actually started in Connecticut, and we have both since moved to the greater Boise area. And we have a really exciting event being planned for June 2nd and 3rd, that weekend there. It's a Friday, Saturday event. We are going to have absolutely amazing guest speakers from all over the country, from attorneys to doctors, to scientists, to pro-life activists, to parents, to constitutional experts. I mean, if you name it, we're going to cover it. If it falls under the umbrella of freedom, and when we mean freedom, we mean true freedom, not slavery that some people consider like my right to make a choice to kill my baby. That's not freedom. That's actually slavery. Those people are seriously oppressed, and we fight for the right for life. So just want to clarify that we don't mean that version of freedom, so to speak. But it's going to be an amazing event, 2 days full of amazing speakers. And we are so excited about that. So save the date. Don't forget.
And Megan will be one of them. I'm going to announce right here.
I am coming. But let's hope that this mask mandate is not reinstated.
Oh, yeah. We won't be able to fly.
Otherwise, I'm driving. Well, that's great news. One thing I want to ask Brian about as we close this out is I'm very aware of a petition that you've been wanting people to sign on. So, you know, that's here scrolling at the bottom. Could you please let we the people know what this is and how we can help?
So this is a petition to make. And thank you, Dawn, for giving me a few minutes to calm down. She knows what to do. But this is a very, very important cornerstone of our efforts right now. Just the educational portion alone. So people are aware of this cornerstone of our mission is education. So this petition in many ways is educational. We don't do a lot of lobbying. We're not allowed to because we're a 501c3 organization. We're only allowed to do a very incidental amount, and we don't really spend any money on lobbying. So this isn't really costing us hardly anything to put this petition into action, but it's very, very important that people sign. And I'll tell you why. This petition is to make health status, including vaccination status and testing status, a protected class. So this would cover masks, right, testing, shots, anything you're putting in your body. Your employer could not deny you a job, discipline you, otherwise discriminate against you, terminate your employment. You could not be denied entry to a business such as a restaurant, a store, travel, anything like that. If this passes, if we are able to amend the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to add health status, including vaccination status, as a protected class, that will cover all of those bases. So for instance, we have race, color, as two of the protected classes. So prior to 1964, when this act was passed, it was perfectly legal. It wasn't moral. It wasn't ethical. It was perfectly legal for a business owner to deny service to a Black person, African-American. They could deny, serving a meal, deny entry. After this was passed, that was no longer legal. Right now, because most people don't realize this, that's why we couldn't challenge the mandates generally. Right. Most people don't realize that there's nothing actually in the law or the Constitution that says an employer can't have a vaccine mandate. Right. They do so have to accommodate.
They were allowed to do that to many of us. And many people were either, subject to disciplinary action or lost their jobs or whatever the case may be. And I just want to point out before Brian continues, this petition is not just one of those petitions that's a useless petition that, great, I just gave somebody else my name and number and my information's floating in the ether and nothing's going to happen with it. The only way nothing is going to happen with this is if you don't sign it and you don't share it. If you do your part, we will do ours. We are committed to at least one member of our team, if not several of us, flying to DC and presenting this to Congress ourselves on the behalf of We the People. So I just want that to be very clear. This isn't just some online petition to collect your data or, to say, okay, well, we did something. No, we mean it. When we say that we're going to do something, we don't commit to something unless we are going to follow through. So again, we will do our part if you do yours.
And we're going to broadcast that. We're going to film that. We're going to have someone, I'm not going to reveal who, but actually deliver that. And then we're going to set up some meetings strategically with members of Congress. I don't want to mention their names yet, but we have certain members of Congress you probably know who are on our side with this.
That's why I'd love to be there.
Maybe you should.
There'll be a few of us there. Don't worry. We'll figure it out.
We're going to have a team. Okay. And we're going to meet. We're going to have a team, gather a team of representatives and senators, get them together and call for congressional hearings. That's what's so important. That's what we need to do. So that, again, at the very least, even if we don't get it passed the first year, which we won't, it doesn't happen that quickly, there'll be awareness to this issue. This will be in the public eye. Everybody will be talking about this because a lot of people don't realize that. Even people that follow us and follow a lot of our supporters, they contact us and say, well, wait, isn't this just illegal discrimination? Why are they even allowed to have a mandate? Why can they subject me to a masking or testing mandate?
Nothing that says they can't. That's
the simple answer. Yeah. Unless you have a religious objection. And that's why we focus so much. And I know there's a school thought out there that you shouldn't be just fighting this on the basis of religion, because then you're giving in to them, you're consenting to the mandate. It's not consent. It's not about consent. It's about what is the current state of the law right now. And we have to operate within that until we can change the law. And so we're trying to do both, right? So we're filing lawsuits within the current framework, the law is currently constituted, but we're also working to change the law so that we don't just have to go under religious or medical exemptions. So anyway, thank you for allowing me to share that. Please, everybody, you can find that if you go to our homepage. You just scroll down to where it says, if you actually go on wethepatriotsusa.org, and you scroll down to the features section, there's a part under the features section that says take action, make unrestricted vaccine mandates illegal, and then underneath it says sign the petition. Right. But that's where you can find it, and sign it and share it, as Don says, because if we don't do that, we're not going to get enough signatures. Right now, I think the last check, it had like 5,000 signatures or something. We need like at least 10 or actually 100 times that amount.
Yeah. We need a minimum of 100,000 before we could do anything with it. And honestly, mm-hmm. that's not going to look very strong in a country of over 330 million people. We need millions of people signing this to really make headway.
Well, I have to say that if you figure how half of, you know, the individuals in this country didn't want to get it, and for those who did get it and those who got injured or lost someone who had a coincidence, people need to take a few seconds out of the day to fill this out. So I'm going to be promoting this on all of my platforms, but I want to thank the both of you for one, inviting me to be a part of We the Patriots USA. I've had a relationship with you, and I am so looking forward to actually meeting you, Dawn, in person in June. And I cannot thank you enough. I will make sure I use this platform to not just talk about the problems, but provide solutions. So I thank you so much. And everyone, please sign this petition, and I'm going to be sharing this on all my platforms to where you're kind of annoyed. So thank you again, Dawn and Brian, and thank you so much for founding this amazing We the Patriots USA organization that helps people, and for all of your selfless work that you guys have done, because I know how tiring that can be, especially when you're a parent. So thank you so much, and you both have a blessed day.
God bless you, Chris, and same to you.